What's up, guys? This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week is a little bit different. About a week ago, I posted on Instagram and Facebook asking for questions about supplements, and you guys sent me 50-plus questions. We narrowed that down to the top 11, and in this podcast, the owners of Driven Nutrition, Jason and Brian, are going to read the questions and answer. And then Jacob Hutton and myself are going to ask some clarifying questions and kind of dig deeper into each of these topics. So we cover a lot of really good information, a lot of frequently asked questions about supplements. Hope you enjoy it.
This is Jason Rule, Brian and Brian King, two of the owners of Driven Nutrition. And we're here to answer some of the questions that your fans as well as our fans had submitted out on Instagram as well as Facebook. One of the first questions we got in, should people even buy supplements if their diet is shitty? Brian?
Yep.
No. No. A good rule of thumb, I mean, you can't supplement a bad diet. I mean, you can't overcompensate having a shitty diet with supplements. A good rule of thumb, people love to talk about what supplements they're on. Rarely does that conversation, or should that conversation be started without first talking about diet. I think if your supplement budget is bigger than your grocery bill, there's probably that's probably a red flag.
Love it. And is this for all athletes? Like, so if an athlete is primarily trying to put on weight, then it really doesn't necessarily matter. It doesn't necessarily matter what they're putting in their body. Extra calories are going to add up to extra pounds, right? So how does this differ for people with different goals?
If the goal is, so, okay, you mentioned like take weight gain, because it's a separate, you know, separate issue, so a unique issue. If it's weight gain you're after, there are things you need to increase. Like, you can increase your carbohydrate content, but you should watch where your macros come from. If you're buying whole grains, rice, even like whole grain pastas, and you want to increase your size purely that way, it is great. I always recommend, doing it whole food rather than a weight gainer is best. Best weight gainer you can find is in the grocery aisle. Mm-hmm. That, as far as weight gain goes, yes, I think start with your groceries, and then you can add your creatine to it. Of course, make sure you're taking plenty of protein to maximize your muscle mass, and go from there.
Love it.
So, question number two: what's the difference in protein synthesis between whole foods and protein supplements? What effects does it have on the body composition and performance? I'll field this one just a little bit, mainly talking about whey protein in comparison to food. You need all different types of proteins, whether it's chicken, beef, eggs, whey protein. One of the great things about whey protein is the branched chain amino acid profile of it. They actually kind of stumbled on that raw on accident. There was a a yogurt manufacturer or a cheese manufacturer?
Cheese manufacturer.
So a cheese manufacturer was dumping their byproduct, which was whey, into the river. Fish started dying. It was a big pollutant. And it wasn't until they went and did a composition of the water and they realized that the amino acid content of this water was just astronomical, that they realized that whey protein, you know, bodybuilders, supplement companies took a look at that and realized that's a gold mine sitting there. That's exactly what athletes need, you know, whether it's bodybuilders, endurance athletes. It breaks down extremely fast, and from a recovery standpoint, it's got one of the best profiles out there.
Okay, how does this, how does that differ from saying just eating a big steak? What are the different effects in the body going on?
I'd like to start by saying I would love to eat a big steak. Mm-hmm. here's the thing. So, there's nothing wrong with eating a big steak. It's going to come into nutrient timing. You know, steaks have some, you know, vital minerals and things in them you need, also. But like, say if we're talking, let's take, for example, post-workout, if you're taking a whey protein or whey protein isolate, you're going to get around 25 grams per scoop of nearly pure protein, you know, 1 gram of carbohydrate, 1 gram of fat. Fats especially can slow down the digestion and absorption of those nutrients. So after workout, when it's vital to time is of essence to get those nutrients back into your working muscle cells, a supplement form of protein like whey is going to be much faster than that steak, where your body has to process. Obviously, there's, you know, it's a cooked piece of meat, so your body has to, you know, you break it down in your stomach acids, slowly goes through your small intestines, etc. And then the steak would also have, even a lean steak is going to have considerably, excuse me, more fat content, you know, than whey protein.
Right. Okay, and we're specifically talking about that window of gains, right? This is we're talking about getting protein into the muscle cells as quickly as possible. So the goal is just to get it in there as fast as possible.
As fast as possible. Yeah, I would say there's two times when of the day when speed of absorption is important. First thing in the morning is a good time to have a very low fat, high protein meal, either with a whey or you know a lot of people do egg whites. That's because your body has fasted all night, so you're kind of on an amino acid fast. So you wouldn't want to have a high fat meal then. It would slow absorption of those proteins. You immediately want to shock your body out of that catabolic state. And then again, as we mentioned, in right after workout, post workout.
Okay. Can I poke at you a little bit? So you're talking Please. About getting out of that catabolic state. So some people may want to stay in that state to stay in kind of a fat burning mode. So are you saying this is for all athletes or what? I'm talking specifically when waking up in the morning.
Yeah. Okay. So if you want to stay in a fat burning mode, you don't have to fast. You know, for example, you could, to stop the catabolic effects, like typically people, burn fat, over carbohydrates if carbohydrates aren't introduced into the system. So, you know, if you were to get up and eat, you know, pure egg whites or even a scoop of protein, you're not going to shut down, your body's fat burning, especially if you're going to get a workout in. Whey protein does create a bit of an insulin spike, mm-hmm. actually can control for a protein. But the longevity of it is very short compared to a carbohydrate. So if you're talking like for weight loss, you know, the difference in athletes, for a weight loss, I would recommend, not having a carbohydrate in the morning. But if you're like, you know, a performance athlete, get up, have a fast protein, have a carbs, you know, slow digesting, low glycemic carb, and save the fats for later when you're less active.
Okay. Love it.
I have a question kind of to expand on, because we're kind of just talking about post-workout nutrition, whey protein, digest fast, you see your system fast, right? What about pre-workout nutrition? What do you guys think about? We're talking about eating a steak after. It's going to take longer to digest, stuff like that. What do you think about eating that? How it's going to affect your performance or recovery like an hour before you work out?
Yeah, I'll take that. I think so pre-workout nutrition, again, it's going to depend on if we keep talking about kind of strength and we'll say more
because I'm talking
about cross athletes. Yeah, I would say it's very important to get a good source of amino acids. Again, you could do it with a scoop of protein. First of all, I like to start to say I don't want to talk all about supplements. I think if you had a meal, it depends on how hard the workout was, a small meal an hour to even an hour and a half before, so you have some glycogen, you have some amino acids in the system. And then specifically pre-workout nutrition, that 15 window before. One stimulants are great. Caffeine, a bit of caffeine can give you a little pick-me-up, a little more endurance. it blunts fatigue and stress on the body. You can also take BCAAs, branched-chain amino acids, as Jason alluded to. That's not kind of a misnomer. BCAAs aren't going to help you build muscle when you work out, but it prevents muscle breakdown. Leucine in particular is going to prevent muscle breakdown, which when you're working out, your body needs – how it does that, your body needs amino acids. Amino acids break down fats and glycogen to be used as energy along with some B vitamins. So if you can either break down the amino acids from your skeletal muscle, or if you have it from a dietary source, you've already ingested it and have it in your bloodstream that way, then your body will utilize that so that leucine can turn on that protein synthesis, not build muscle while you're working out, but keep you from preventing it, or excuse me, keep you from losing it.
Sweet.
Cool. Number three.
Number three, when an athlete is trying to cut body fat, the key is consistency, and a big factor in that is feeling full. If drinking calories takes away from this feeling of being full, do you still recommend it? Are there any athletes that need them more than others? If an athlete is trying to cut body fat, and they're talking about drinking calories, liquid calories, I guess that's open-ended. It depends where you're getting your calories, your liquid calories from.
Specifically, the question is about like a whey protein supplement, and that's that's just one theory that is the case, that when people drink a protein supplement, it's not going to make them as full, and so it's going to make it harder to lose body fat. So that's, I'm not saying that is the case, but what do you say to people with that kind of objection?
Say, have some willpower. That's what I tell them. drink your protein, have some willpower, brother. If you want to lose fat, if you want to cut up, how ripped do you want to be? How much do you want to suffer, man? Like you're going to have to suck it up a bit. I don't think taking a protein shake is going to make, if it's 25 grams of, 25 grams of protein from a shake versus a chicken breast, sure, you're going to have some fats and stuff in there, but I don't know if you're going to think, man, I wish I had the whole food meal instead. Although if given the choice and I was trying to lose weight, I would want the whole foods meal. It takes calories to break down whole foods and digest them anyway.
Right. And it's kind of it's just like the volume approach. The more volume of food you eat, a lot of times the more full you're going to feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's true. Drink a lot of water helps you feel full too. Thirst can be mistaken by the body for hunger. Typically, outside of those windows where you want to have a liquid protein shake, stick with whole foods. That goes for if you're trying to gain weight or lose.
Awesome.
Question four: is there a difference in taking straight dextrose versus fruit juice, sports drinks, etc.?
Yes. Here's the thing about dextrose. Dextrose is the closest thing in your body to glucose. There's nothing faster at turning to glucose that you can take. If you're talking fructose, if you're looking at sports drinks, fruit juice, those would be two different things. Sports drinks would have some dextrose in them, but pure dextrose is the fastest thing you can do to replenish or spike your insulin levels and get your blood sugar levels higher.
So that's an interesting thing. Not just from dextrose, it spikes your insulin levels, it brings your blood sugars up, but then there's the product like GlycoDrive, which is a highly branched chain cyclic dextrin, which dextrose stays in the gut for a long time. Even though it has an impact on your blood sugar levels, it doesn't convert over to glycogen that fast, has a tendency to upset your stomach a little bit. So that's a tough thing to take as a pre as well as an intra if somebody needs to do something like that. Something like a highly branched chain cyclic dextrin is going to empty the gut a lot faster. So your body's going to be able to utilize that as a fuel whereas a dextrose will sit there longer.
Awesome. Thank you.
So what is creatine and how do I use it? And a follow-up to that, which probably everybody has heard at some point, is it actually steroids?
Yes.
The most legal form of steroids.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I have a little anecdote, I guess. Can you cut it out? No. creatine is a byproduct of amino acids. Creatine, how do I use it? I guess first go into kind of how creatine works, and then people can decide whether they want to use it or not. I'd start by saying creatine's probably the most bang for your buck supplement you can take.
Boom.
Period. Most bang for your buck supplement you can take. I'm not including protein in that because protein is a, you know, it's powdered milk. It's not you don't get on protein. You eat protein. So creatine that works in a couple of ways. From a performance standpoint, creatine increases the production of ATP output. So ATP is fast burn energy, first in the Krebs cycle. If you were to, you know, say, if I said, hey, Michael, sprint 200 meters, and you could sprint 160 meters of that, and then you no longer could be at a full sprint, at that point that you stopped, that would be the point where your ATP production was surpassed by your ATP stores. Same with like if you're a bench press, you know, if you do rep number six, and you fail on seven, at that point your ATP usage has exceeded your storage and production. Mm-hmm. So taking creatine and being able to increase your ATP production, maybe you get that seventh rep. Maybe you can sprint the entire 200 meters. So obviously a lot more goes into that, but from pure performance standpoint, from pretty quick in the first week you start taking it, you should be able to notice. From a recovery standpoint, creatine hydrates. Creatine monohydrate is the long name. Anytime you hydrate a muscle cell, it pulls in liquid. The larger the volume, the more liquid you can pull in there, the more amino acids, electrolytes, things that your body is going to need to recover and grow are going to be pulled into the muscle cell along with the creatine. So it's twofold. It's for performance and it's recovery. So good muscle. I mean, that's the name of the game is recovery, right?
Right. And then is it I know there is benefit to a loading phase of creatine. But can you, in time, can you get the same effects without any loading phase? So say, just start out taking 5 grams a day and just continue on that until you unload, or is the loading phase absolutely necessary?
That's actually a really good question. There's reason. I mean, if you want to instantly get results from your creatine and you wanted to do a 20 gram a day, you know, loading phase for 3 or 4 days, you would get there faster. But at the end of 2 weeks, if you had just taken 5 grams a day, you'd be in the same place. Creatine reaches a saturation point and you can't have any more. So like that 5 grams you mentioned, 5-6 grams a day, at the end of 2 weeks, it's not going to matter if you load it or not.
Mm-hmm. And then how often should one deload or unload from creatine, and how long should that be for?
I mean, that's something I've kind of even changed my own personal experience on. I think you can stay on creatine a long time. I mean, I think if you want to notice gains, you know, every 12 weeks or so, you know, go off for a couple weeks and you can jump back on. But there's nothing wrong with taking creatine all the time.
Took from 5 grams of creatine every day for like 6 years at least.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Survived. Yeah. One of the ways that I've kind of come to explain it to people is it's kind of like, you know, creatine, ATP, it's kind of like pouring water in a cup. As you exert force, as you make an explosive type movement, you're going to burn that up. So if you can keep that cup full, then your ability to exert force, get stronger, throw the weights, is going to maintain at a higher level. But like Brian said, if you want to notice more of a difference, you know, you let that cup empty out a little bit, your tank goes out a little bit, and then you reload again. So, yeah, it's, you know, people that stay on it nonstop, that's a, to us, I mean, that's the way to do
that's
it.
That's fine. I mean, it's not like a hormone that if you start taking testosterone, your body's going to stop synthesizing it.
Right.
It's a, you know, it's a natural process of the Krebs cycle. If you don't introduce it, your body will do it on its own. So, you know, take creatine.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, actually.
Yeah.
So, question six, what is the most reliable resource for quality information on supplementation for those who want to do their own research?
DrivenNutrition.com, baby.
I knew you were going to say that.
Come on. We're gonna have to give away our secrets here.
No, it's a, you know, that's a tough question. A lot of our research comes from PubMed. They publish a lot of great articles. You know, peer-reviewed studies that come out there that, you know, as far as the latest true studies that have been done, not just the latest and greatest studies that supplement companies that have done that, you know, they put out there to advertise that, you know, do nothing more than really sell supplements.
Mm-hmm.
So we love PubMed and try to look at things with a critical eye. You know, it take a look at it. If it smells like bullshit, it probably is.
Love it.
Yeah. It really, I'll elaborate. Can I, if you're talking, you know, if you want to look up in individual ingredients, our formulas are pretty straightforward. We put in what works in effective doses. But if you want to see what someone else is doing, don't look at the front of the label, all the hype, the sizzle. Look at the actual ingredients. And looked up those individual ingredients, look for peer-reviewed studies on those individual ingredients. You know, we just got done talking about creatine. There's got to be 10,000 peer-reviewed studies validating the use of creatine, you know, performance and safety. There's some other sites I've gone on. I don't mind giving other, you know, websites a plug. I think Muscle Insider is a good spot to go to information. Jerry Branham. Branham is an old, kind of an old school bodybuilder, but he does a lot of.
How do you spell that?
B R A I N U M.
Awesome.
He's got some good stuff. You know, some good editorials and stuff he's written, and his is kind of some, you know, it's no bullshit. It's
right.
This is debunked. This works. This doesn't. Yeah.
Sweet.
So, and he goes beyond supplements too. He's, you know, diet, all the above.
Cool.
Let's see. Where can we verify the ingredients? How can we verify where the ingredients come from in certain supplements? You can't.
No, it make sure the best you can do. There's two forms. Make sure it's GMP certified, good manufacturing practice. It's a system that manufacturers have to go through to make sure that you know, everything is high and tight on their end. The really tough thing is, you know, we're not going to tell people where we get our grass-fed whey protein. It's one of our really strong selling points, and it tastes freaking amazing. I mean, you've had it, right, Mike?
Yes, it's amazing.
Okay, thank you. Do you like how I lobbed that up there for you?
Yeah. Made that super easy.
So, you know, it. Everybody thinks that their stuff is better than everybody else's. So those raws. The things that you want to look for is the GMP. That really is going to validate what's in the product. A company can really get their ass in a sling big time if they're claiming to be GMP and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So always look for that. You know, that's my best advice on that.
If it's a GMP regulated facility, you know, there's going to be third party testing. There's going to be an audits, like FDA style audits, to make sure it is. And you know, when you're buying your stuff, don't get these. There's some fly by night companies that pop up and are gone. You know, that you do your research on the company as a whole. A company like ours, there's a lot of good supplement companies out there, man. And I know I speak for Jason too. And it's like, we don't want to mess with, like, there's no reason to shave a buck. Like, we got a big company here that we're trying to grow. We want to put good stuff in there that people are going to talk about and tell their friends. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, a reputable company has no reason to hide what they're doing.
Right. Cool.
All right. Number 8, how beneficial are BCAAs to CrossFit athletes? And when should they be taken?
Okay. BCAAs are beneficial. I think sometimes they're a little overhyped, only because they are, it's a small piece of a long protein chain. Branched chain amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine. Really what you're looking there is leucine. Kind of some guidelines of it. You need 2 grams, a minimum of 2 grams of leucine to turn on protein synthesis. You see it written sometimes, it's little m, big T-O-R, mTOR. Isoleucine to a lesser extent, and valine is just kind of hanging out there. So they are beneficial. The benefits you're going to get, as we mentioned, you might, because you need those amino acids readily in your system to break down the fats and carbohydrates to be used as energy. Having them, taking them either pre-workout or intra-workout. You know, if you're talking CrossFit athletes, there's probably not a lot of opportunities to have an intra-workout. So I'd say go ahead and take 5 to 7 grams before workout. Make sure you're getting at least 2 grams of leucine. Taking them before can definitely give you a little better endurance, and also helps give you a good pump, which is very important too.
And I'll jump in on that a little bit. I take it, you know, during my workouts. I like it. It tastes amazing. And by kind of trickling it in, you know, I'm not going out and breaking any records by any means in my workout. So I'm kind of sipping on it as I go along, not only through the cardio aspect of it, but also through the strength part of the WOD. It is going to help that catabolic process. So when that window of gains opens up, I love that term, by the way, guys. So when the window of gains opens up, you're not at a deficit to begin with. So you're going to get those BCAAs and keep them in your system throughout the process. So, I love them.
BCAAs, it's prevention. It's not muscle building. That's what I mean by sometimes they can get overhyped. It's not muscle building. It's prevention of muscle loss during really stressful.
Okay. And then how are there any guidelines on what makes a workout catabolic, and what kind of workouts people should and shouldn't worry about taking BCAAs?
Any kind of strength athlete, resistance training, endurance type athlete, I'd say you're going to break – anytime you're breaking down muscle tissue – so you're going to be doing less of this if you're a runner. Mm-hmm. You're going to do much more of this if you're doing resistance training.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So what exactly is ZMA, and how good is it for you? And what about women?
Is that two separate questions? Asking about
what is ZMA? Who is it good for? And then especially touch on, is there any difference in men and women in regards to ZMA?
Oh, okay. I thought it was just a generic question on there. What about women?
They want women advice.
Yeah.
I'm going to take some notes.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong guys.
Yeah.
ZMA is zinc and magnesium in aspartate form.
And usually S&B vitamins with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Zinc is essential. Zinc and magnesium are both essential. I will go out on a limb and say it's been debunked as a muscle building, or you know, it was kind of touted for a long time as a testosterone boosting supplement, or at least testosterone support. Your body does need zinc present to have good amounts of free testosterone in the body, but I don't think taking extra zinc that makes you produce more free testosterone. Magnesium is great. I like magnesium, even taking them before workouts. I like taking magnesium with creatine. It does help prevent some muscle spasms, cramps, things like that. Magnesium taken at night. Magnesium is interesting because you can take about 500 milligrams, say even 800 milligrams before workout and not feel it at all in terms of like making you tired or something, but taking a gram or more of magnesium at night. That's when I used to get back like leg cramps at night. So I started taking magnesium, and taking a gram or more at night kind of helps. It doesn't put you to sleep, but it definitely relaxes you.
Love it.
Another thing to build on that, I like magnesium. If sometimes I get headaches, especially if I get into a really good zone where I've been working out heavy for the last couple months. A lot of times if athletes reach that stage, if they start getting headaches, a lot of times they're deficient in magnesium. It's also a good laxative. If you're stopped up, take about 2 grams of magnesium and have a big bottle of water and be close to a bathroom. I guess that's a cheap colon cleanse. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'd like to add on to that is, and I'm curious about Brian's take on this, ZMA versus vitamin D when it comes to not only testosterone support, but muscle building. Now more than ever in terms of the timing of the year, what's your take? ZMA versus vitamin D. If you're going to do one, which would you do?
Vitamin D every time. Yeah. There's no one that shouldn't be taking a vitamin D supplement. I work with a lot of athletes and just general clientele as well. I mean, everything from vitamin D is kind of known as the hormone vitamin, that hormone being testosterone. So it doesn't, man, woman, doesn't matter. As Jason pointed out, especially this time of year, we're in the winter months, you're getting less sunlight. You would need a minimum of, 30 minutes of direct sun exposure a day to have your body synthesize in the skin enough vitamin D. And there's just, for me, for most people, I think there's no way to do that, especially these months. So taking
2,000 IUs?
I think right now I'm taking 5,000 IUs. I've done it, taking 1,000 IUs in divided doses. But, especially for such an inexpensive supplement, mm-hmm. Yeah, but vitamin D over ZMA for sure.
So
for sure.
Get back to that dosage for me real quick. What is, give us a range that people can try to hit on vitamin D.
So 2,000 IUs mm-hmm. to 5,000 IUs. You okay. can break that up throughout the day. Here's an important point. Vitamin D is fat soluble. So you need that type of molecule for basically to pass through the digestive tract to get absorbed. So take it with food or fish oil, which is, fish oil and vitamin D go hand in hand for sure. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good price point. Another thing that I'd like to add with this is one of our athletes, Mallory Lawson, is expecting. She's 14 weeks pregnant in 14 months. Man, she would be miserable. She's 14 weeks pregnant. About that time, right before the beginning of the third trimester, if someone is expecting, it's vital for them. And this is off the subject a little bit because it's not really necessarily with athletes. I've said a million times, I believe CrossFit causes pregnancies more than anything else, even beer. so vitamin D is vital at the beginning of the third trimester as well as throughout and as well as if they're nursing because if not all, by and large, the majority of women after they give birth, they're incredibly deficient in vitamin D. Okay. We don't sell vitamin D. I'm just kind of doing a PSA here.
Love it.
But vitamin D, the beginning of the third trimester, throughout, as well as nursing, because that vitamin D will leach into that breast milk, into the baby. It's vital. So that's a huge deal. So if anybody's expecting, ask your doctor, of course. I'm required to say that. But I really like seeing people take 2,000 to 5,000 IUs because as those bones start to solidify, it's going to start leaching calcium as well as vitamin D from your system. So vitamin D's, if you're pregnant, vitamin D. If you're a human, go take vitamin D.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. Are there ingredients that we should avoid in different supplements? The first one I'm going to say is soy.
Oh, good one. Yeah, soy.
Soy, yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I was thinking like pro hormones and stuff. Soy, yeah.
Soy is awful.
Soy is good like for estrogen and cancer.
Wow. No more soy bacon for me.
No more soy. Stay away from soy. I mean, if you look at like, you know, women who had breast cancer and stuff, that's the first thing they eliminate from the diet is soy.
Wow.
It promotes estrogen. So, and there's a lot of people, you know, you can have a certain tolerance of it. I don't even sit next to soy. Okay.
Yeah. Sexually transmitted.
That's right. I don't even, you know, if they try to serve me edamame at a sushi restaurant, I'll leave.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
Soy. Avoiding different supplements. Avoid stuff that isn't dosed correctly. You know, I mean, underdose. Don't waste your money. There's a good tip. Don't waste your money on a product that has 1 gram of creatine, because why pay for 1 gram when you get 0 grams would do the same good.
Right.
There's a lot of underdose stuff. I mean, there's
ingredient. That's such a wide range. That's tough to touch on. I think. Not just ingredients. I'm gonna take a swing at this one. If you look at a product, and if it's been advertised to hell and high water all over the place, and you look at the turn around the bottle, and if it says proprietary blend, and it's got about 5 total grams, and 18 ingredients in that 5 total grams, that's a shitty product. So that's not really talking about ingredients. That's just They're putting a dusting of
underdosing. It's
underdosing. It's one of the biggest problems when it comes to supplementation.
Label decorations.
Yeah. And do they just put that in there so that they can claim that they include all of these different ingredients?
Yep. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. You'll see some products they'll call it a super ninja creatine with ninja blood. You take a look at it and it's got 5 blends of creatine. And some of these creatines are patented. Creocalin is one of them. There's still a lot of marketing behind that, so some people kind of pay the extra money, even though that it's kind of been debunked. But you take a look at the ingredients, you turn around, there's 5 grams in there. It's 2 or 3 times the price of a normal creatine monohydrate, and it's got 5 or 6 different types of creatines in there. The reason they do that is they'll put a dusting of creocalin or a creatine ethyl ester, the list goes on and on, mm-hmm. and the majority of it is a monohydrate. So they're basically decorating the product to get more money out of it.
Okay.
So that to me that's a big deal.
That's a good advice.
That goes back to before, read the individual ingredients, look them up one by one.
Yeah. Sweet. Is there a way to know, and I'm sure I already know the answer, but is there a way to know how much of each ingredient is in certain supplements?
No. There's a way to kind of back it in. So if you take a look at a product and it has a proprietary blend of, say, 5 grams,
mm-hmm.
If it's a GMP company, they're obligated to list those ingredients from most to least. So right. If monohydrate is the first ingredient of those 5 grams, it's got more than any of the other ingredients. It doesn't mean it has the majority of it.
Right.
It could still be 0.5 grams to 4.5 grams.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So that's you can't know. That's the reason I hate proprietary blends.
I don't like them either, especially when I'm buying supplements. I will say sometimes they're, I don't want to say a necessary evil. I get it because we have a supplement company and I'll rack my brain trying to come up with, you know, cool formulas and stuff. And I don't want to put that out there for everyone to, you know, I don't want to do everyone else's homework. So I get why companies do it. But like Jason said, if you look at our formulas, they're pretty, even if we were to put them in a proprietary blend, it wouldn't take.
There's 2 ingredients in a proprietary
blend.
Right,
right. We got 2 or 3 things in there.
Right.
You know, if it says proprietary blend BCAAs, leucine, S-leucine, valine, and it's 5 grams, you can guarantee it's 2.5 to 1.5 to 1.5 respectively. Right. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Let's see. If an athlete only has $50 a month to spend on supplements. What should he or she take? How about $100? Where should they buy it from?
I'll take this.
Yep.
Okay. Protein, $50. Any good protein out there, you should be able to get under that mark for sure. That's first and foremost. You need to take protein. Second, if you have $100, creatine and probably a BCA. Those three products.
Vitamin D you could throw in there, but that's going to cost you $3.
Yeah, for two months supply.
What do you guys think about beta alanine?
Mm. Like it.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's full dosed, and we'll do a product plug here. It's a full dosed ingredient in our pre-wad. Love beta alanine. I would still keep protein, creatine at the top of the list. Beta alanine versus BCAAs depends on what you're trying to do, what you're trying to achieve. It's probably a thin degree of separation between the two.
Why would one choose beta alanine over BCAAs and vice versa?
Well, why don't we talk about what beta alanine do? We haven't really talked about it.
Perfect.
Love beta alanine.
Beta alanine increases carnosine, actually. It buffers lactic acid production in the body. The more you can prevent that burn, it's an endurance product, basically. The more you can prevent that burn, the longer you can work out with a feeling of less stress. If you want to BCAAs versus beta alanine, both.
It's tough.
Yeah, both, I guess I would have to say. No, I mean, beta alanine and creatine work awesome together. I'll say that. Take both of those. Creatine being number one, but I mean, you know, Jason mentioned protein in your supplement stack. Is protein a supplement?
It's a food.
Yeah, we'll call it a supplement. I wouldn't even call it protein. If someone said, "What supplements are you taking?" I wouldn't even say protein. I would tell them I was taking creatine and vitamin D, things like that. But protein's a food. Creatine, vitamin D, beta alanine, BCAAs, all those you can get pretty. I mean, you're not looking at $100 if you're doing all that.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
$100 a month on supplements, you'd have a pretty damn good stack.
You get pre-wad BCAAs, protein, be way under $100 a month.
Creatine, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Spend more money on your food. Where should they buy it from?
I'll take this. Your local box, your CrossFit gym. These guys are people that you know and that you trust. They're your coach. Beyond that, they've got their life savings tied up, not necessarily all of it, but they've put a lot of financial risk on the line. A lot of these guys are firefighters, retired military, policemen, and just all around good people. That's one of the reasons that Driven is affiliate exclusive. By working with those CrossFit boxes, we're able to bring in a revenue source. And, one of the things that we do almost all the time, we're sending out, a CrossFit gym will order some samples, try the product out first and foremost, to make sure that they want to sell it, that they want to offer it to their athletes and their members. So unlike, a local retailer or discount box or something like that, if it's a shelf filler, they don't always care what's on their shelf. A box does. I mean, you know these people. You know their family. They know your family. They want what's best for you. So regardless of whether it's Driven or anything else, I highly recommend supporting that local box.
But make sure it's Driven.
A Driven box.
No, man. There's a lot of good supplement companies out there. I don't want to say I'm a fan of several supplement companies. So I think we make good stuff. I like to see people taking ours and getting their feedback. But there's a lot of good companies out there.
Awesome. Yeah, Jake. Before we wrap up, do you have any more questions about supplements?
I can't think of any off the top of my head right now.
Awesome, man. I think we got a lot of good information. First off, what makes Driven Nutrition different? Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Well, first, as far as I know, we're the only affiliate exclusive company out there. When we started, we had some friends that owned some boxes, and we asked them point blank, look, if we're going to start a supplement company from scratch, what does it look like? What does it need to have? What products do we need to offer? And how do we go about it? First and foremost, you need an amazing tasting grass-fed whey protein. Okay, check. Two, it can't be overpriced. When we came on the market, there weren't many players in the game. Some places were getting $70 to $80 for a two-pound thing of protein. Isn't competitive in the supplement world. That's not something that can be sustained over a long period of time. If you want to compete against, if a CrossFit gym in terms of supplement sales wants to maintain that relationship long term, they can't continue to overcharge for a product, especially something that is a protein. You know, it's a commodity out there that they can get a lot of different places. Some of the other things, you know, branched chain amino acids, availability of SKUs. You know, I think under Driven, we've got a little over 50 SKUs now and across the board. We've got a couple more coming out over the next quarter that we're really excited about. And, you know, it's tough to say, but us, I mean, we are Driven. When you call the phone, we don't have sales reps. When you call somebody, you're getting a hold of one of us. Mm-hmm. And we care. We know that our name is on the line. When it comes time to taking care of the members, you know, the gym first and foremost wants an amazing product that when they sell to their members, they can hold their head high and know that they're getting something that they can't get somewhere else. And you know, we really put a lot of weight behind that.
Yeah, we don't want to. I mean, we make stuff we want to take. Jason was a collegiate sprinter. I was a collegiate wrestler. I'm an Olympic lifting background. We both are avid workout guys now. I mean, we want to make stuff we want to take. So, we wouldn't have it any other way. We're customers. Absolutely. I mean, we want to make money doing this. Sure. Anyone that owned a company that would tell you differently is full of shit, but we want to do that by making awesome stuff that people love taking.
Right. Yeah. Sounds like a great deal, guys. Where can people find out more about you? Where can they go to sign up or just inquire about your services?
Great. It sounds like I'm going through puberty. Jeez, Mike. I'm 41 years old. My voice just cracked.
Creatine.
So go to drivennutrition.com. Any of the products are out there available for sale. We have sample packs of our protein as well as our amino acids. If you do own a box and you'd like to offer Driven to your members, if you'd like to bring it in just for yourself, kind of walk before you run type thing, click on Become a Driven Affiliate. On there, there's a one-minute form to fill out. You put your name, website, all of your pertinent information that has to do with your business. Once we vet you to make sure that you are indeed a box and a box owner, we'll throw a switch. You'll be a wholesale customer. At that point, you can order product at wholesale prices. One other thing that you can do is we allow you to put an affiliate link on your website, whether you put the image as well as the link in the blog. If anyone were to order from that, you can get a referral credit back to your account to the tune of 30%. So we try to bring so much to the table that it's a no-brainer for an affiliate to bring us on.
Best way to get like new information, Jason's website, Facebook, Instagram, the social media stuff. You want to know what's new, what's coming out, what events we're doing, you know, follow us, please.
They are on Instagram, at least, at Driven Nutrition. Is that same on Twitter and Facebook?
It is.
Awesome. You can find Jacob Hutton on Instagram at Jacob Hutton 1. I am Michael Cazieux, Cazayoux. And if you haven't already, go ahead and sign up for the newsletter. Go to www.brutestrengthtraining.com. We'll update you with the newest podcasts, programs coming out, and lots of free information. Thanks again, guys. This was great.
Absolutely. Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to both of you guys.
Absolutely. We'll chat soon.
Appreciate it.